Chris Packer. Nice to be with you. If you'd like to turn with me, please, to the Book of Numbers and chapter 13. Book of Numbers and chapter 13. Well, as the will of the Lord, I shall be with you another Tuesday in May. So it's two Tuesdays, and I thought it would just be profitable and beneficial before the Lord that we might just very simply take up two character studies so that we're not be too difficult on a Tuesday evening after a busy day at work. The two that I'd like to look at are the two good spies that came back from the land of Canaan, Joshua and Caleb. To this day, it's a chorus that's a very favourite of ours in our Sunday club. 12 spies went to spy in Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. And if you don't know the actions, I can fill you in on them afterwards. Well, we'll look at Caleb this evening, and then the will of the Lord, and we'll look at the character of Joshua next time I come in May. Well, we'll read some of the verses from Numbers, we won't read all of them at the sake of time. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, that I may give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, of all those who were heads of the children of Israel. Verse 6, And of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Down to verse 16, And these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hosea, the son of Nun, Joshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up unto the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell there, wherein they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities there be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman and Shishai and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from hence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from hence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwelt in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwelt by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil or a bad report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, and would God that we had died in this wilderness. And whereof has the Lord brought us into this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey, where it is not better for us to return, where it is not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make us a captain, and let us return into Egypt. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Well, I'm sure with the company that I'm talking to this evening, we're well familiar with the background and where we come to in Israel's history when we come to Numbers chapter 13. So we don't need to go over through all of that, do we? But of course we are justified when we look at a character like Caleb and Joshua and these events in the scriptures to learn from them in our modern day. In fact, we couldn't have a more apt passage to look at in our present crisis in our country to do with democracy and Brexit, can we? They had these same problems in Numbers chapter 13 in the days of Caleb and Joshua. But of course, the apostle reminds us that these were written beforehand for our learning. So they were experiences that they passed through for our benefit, so that we might learn from them and it might indeed be a benefit to us. Now, of course, practically what was happening here, they'd come out of the land of Egypt. God had brought them through the Red Sea, and here they were at the very border of the promised land that God was going to give to them. And they were to send spies into the land, and it was quite a journey that they began. If you were to look at the map at the end of your Bible, you discover that the wilderness of Sin and the Negev was the very south of the land. Rehob was the very north of Israel, the land that God was going to give to them. That was a round trip of some 500 miles. So if you work that out, it roughly equates to about 12 to 15 miles a day they would have had to walk through the 40 days that they spent in the land, spying it out to see what sort of a land it was. So they obviously covered quite some distance at walking pace to keep up the pace to look at the land. Of course, they were in an enemy land, and they were mindful of that as they viewed and saw the enemies and the wonder of the land before they brought back their report to Moses and to the people. So we have indeed 12 spies that were sent out. We have the two faithful ones, as we are very familiar with, Caleb and Joshua. But of course, the first question really to ask is, why did God and Moses send out spies into the land? Why did they go out to spy the land? God knew what the land was like. God had promised them the land. So what was the purpose of the spies? You know, that's why it's always important that when we read the Word of God, we read everything in its context and read all that there is to know about it. Because we're told in Numbers chapter 13, the events that took place. God commanded Moses to send the spies into the promised land. He commanded that they should be the heads of the people. But you know, when we come to Moses' account in Deuteronomy in chapter 1, and if we read there, we discover that the people came to Moses and asked for spies because of their unbelief. So yes, God did command that Moses should send the 12 from the 12 tribes, but it was because of their unbelief God had commanded them to send. In the same way that God commanded Samuel, remember, to anoint Saul to be king. It wasn't God's intent that they should have a king. God wanted himself to be king of their people, but the people asked for a king. And so the Lord gave instruction, remember, to Samuel as to who he was to anoint as king over his people. Samuel, of course, telling them the sort of character that the king would be. But nonetheless, God allowed it because in his sovereign will and mind, he had a purpose in these things. But it was noticeable that when in Deuteronomy chapter 1, that when the people came to Moses, that they asked that they might send spies into the land because of unbelief. God had promised them a land. Moses had said in Deuteronomy, look, here is the land, go up and possess it. It's yours. God is going to give it to you. He's just decimated the land of Egypt. He has brought them through the Red Sea, destroyed the armies of Egypt. They never saw a live soldier again once they came through the Red Sea. And yet, having seen all of that, having been in slavery for 400 years, they did not believe that God would give them the land. And God knew that in their heart of hearts, they were in a spirit of unbelief, except for Caleb, who stands out here as a beacon, as an example. And Caleb is definitely here an example to young men and an encouragement to them. And we shall see in a moment that Caleb is also an encouragement and an example to older believers as well. And we'll see why in a moment as we go through. But it's not surprising, is it, that when the people went forth in unbelief, you reap what you sow. At the end, they ended up with unbelief. They viewed the land, they came back, and they gave their report. Strange, isn't it, that when we come to chapter 13, that they went out in unbelief, Deuteronomy will tell us. It's no surprise that they came back in unbelief. They viewed the land, it started off well. When they came back, they gave their report, and it was quite a commotion, and we discovered that it was Caleb. He's the one indeed who stands out very prominently between Caleb and Joshua on this occasion, and we read that he quieted the people, that in the presence of God they should be quiet. It's something that's not seen much of in Christendom these days, to be still and to be quiet. Zephaniah tells us in chapter 1 and verse 7 to be silent in the presence of the Lord. You remember there's all that commotion in Acts, that it was the town councillor who quieted them down to be still and to be quiet. Went into a Pentecostal church recently and had a stage and a band and all the instruments and lights that would have made the Theatre Royal put to shame. I might add, I was working there. There's nobody else there. And I was thinking, well, I don't think there's probably much quietness on a Sunday morning. It's good to be still and to be quiet in the presence of the Lord. And from all the commotion, from the reports that the spies were bringing back, we discover it was Caleb who quieted the people, that before God they might be still. You know, on Sunday morning we should never be afraid, should we, to be quiet. It's good to be still in the presence of the Lord, that we might be still and to know that thou art God, as the psalmist would say. So Caleb quieted the people, and they listened to the report that the spies brought. They went through the land and they discovered indeed it was an exceeding great land. God had commanded them to go out at just the right time. Isn't that amazing how God works? They went out when the grapes were at their ripest, the harvest was right. You know, it's not so insignificant, is it, that God always acts just at the right time. We think of the days of Naomi and Ruth. They came back to the land at the time of harvest, just when it was right to go into the field to glean. God had his purpose, not to bring them back at winter, but just at the right time. And so they spied out the land at its very best at harvest time, and they brought back the best of the land, and they'd seen the wonder that it truly was a land that flowed with milk and honey. Nevertheless, they said, they saw what was in the land. They saw the enemies. They saw the walled cities, Jericho, and all the cities of the enemies that were there, the Amaleks, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the sons of Anak, these mighty men that were giants in the land. They saw them, they were fearful of them, and they said, look, these enemies, they're too great. And more than that, he says, we were like grasshoppers in their sight. That's how we felt, they said at the very end, and so we were in their sight, as like grasshoppers. Caleb was the one who said, we are able to go up and overcome these enemies. We can do it now. We don't need to wait. We can go up and we can overcome. Even these sons of Anak, they're not too great for us. We can go up and we can overcome them. You see, Caleb knew the promises of God. We know the promises of God. Our Bibles are full of the wonderful promises of God, and God desires that we should have our faith in Him, that we should be strong and courageous and unwavering in our faith upon His word and upon His character. And Caleb was like that. He was unwavering. God had promised, and he knew that God would fulfill and would give the land to them. There's nothing to hold us back, he would tell them. Look, we are well able to go up and overcome this. But they listened, and democracy ruled on that day. 10-2. And as they were saying in Parliament today, the no's have it. And sadly, they listened to the 10 that said no. This is too much. And they would not listen. They would not go in. But Caleb, how frustrated he must have been with Joshua. Their faith was in God, the one who brought them through the Red Sea and out of Egypt. God was well able to fulfill his promise. Let us never waver or doubt at the wonderful promises that God has made. We're reminded, aren't we, of course, that the apostle reminds us that all the promises of God are in him. They're in Christ, yea and amen. Christ is everything, and all the promises of God will be fulfilled and are centred in him. How sad that we read a few examples from the people. They said, look, in their unbelief, they said, look, it would be better if we went back to Egypt. How foolish was their mind when they got in a mindset of unbelief. When they doubted God, anything was possible for them to comprehend and to believe. They said it was better to go back to Egypt. But God had just decimated the land through all those plagues. The land had just been plundered. They'd taken all its gold and silver. They were in mourning for the death of their firstborn. They'd been out through the Red Sea and God had destroyed their army. Did they really think that they would be welcomed if they went back? They never would have got there through the Red Sea anyway. But what a sad position that they had come to. The people of God, they had seen so much of the power of God, and yet they were in unbelief at what God could do. God had promised, and yet they were in unbelief. What a beacon of light Caleb is when he stands out amongst these 12 or these 10, because Joshua was with him in faith. Joshua is commended by the Lord. What a wonderful commendation is given. If we read in Numbers 14 and verse 24, we read this. Caleb, my servant. My servant, Caleb. Because he hath another spirit within him and has followed me fully. What a commendation God gives of his servant. Caleb, my servant. Of course, we're all servants of the Lord. We should all serve him. But what a wonderful commendation. It wasn't the privilege of everyone in the scriptures to be named in such a way of God. God would speak of Moses like that. Moses, my servant. Jacob and David. Job and Isaiah. And of course, the Lord Jesus himself. Behold my servant, whom I uphold. Caleb was marked out as God's servant. And he followed him fully. Followed him holy. What a commendation of the Lord in contrast to the 10 who were not following and who were in unbelief. Caleb stood alone. We jokingly said that the no's have it, but they were the majority. The majority had said no, and Caleb stood alone amongst all the people. He stood alone with Joshua in his testimony and his faith in God. You know, there are many that stand alone. We think of Daniel, who stood alone in a foreign land for God, with only a few believing friends with him. There are many in families, perhaps at work, at college, in various places where we find ourselves. Indeed, we might find ourselves standing alone. But it was no excuse for wavering. Just as Joseph, in a foreign land, his faith in God was strong and he stood for God. And here Caleb, along with Joshua, he stood alone for God. His faith was unwavering in the promises and in the ability and power of God to fulfill what he had done, had promised. Caleb indeed truly was, as we read, courageous. "Let us go up at once," he said, "and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." We're reminded, aren't we, what John says in his third epistle. He tells us here, or his first epistle rather, in the epistles, he said, "We are of God, little children, and we've overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." There might indeed appear to be many enemies and difficulties and obstacles in the world, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We are on the victory side. We are associated with one who is victorious, one who has risen from the dead, and we are associated with him. And his victory is ours. Let us not sink in our own strength, but neither let us be put off. Let us be courageous like Caleb was. And he stood up and he held on to the promises of God, because he knew the character of God. Because God had promised them the land, he was going to give it to them. And Caleb believed that, and he held on to the promise. And of course, as a result of that, Caleb was preserved. That God was to judge all of these 10 bad spies and all of that generation, only Caleb and Joshua ever went into the promised land. Even Moses was never allowed into the promised land. Well, he made it in the end when we read in the New Testament he was there with Elijah and the Lord upon the Mount of Transfiguration. But here he was never allowed, even though he'd led the people for 40 years. Well, that's another story, isn't it? Another lesson. Only Joshua and Caleb were going to be allowed in and given a possession in the land, an inheritance in the land, because of their faithfulness now, even when everyone else was against them. What an example to young men. He was at the age of 40. He was 40 years of age when he stood with Joshua against all those who were opposing him. And yet, you know, when he was 85 years of age, he was just as strong as he was here. When we go to the book of Joshua, and we read in Joshua in chapter 14 and verse 10, he tells us there that he was just as strong as he was here when he stood before Moses and the people when he was 40. Just as strong. Paul says, you know, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." He says, "I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith." Literally, the thought of that verse, the apostle was saying, "I have fought and am still fighting." He'd come to the end of his life, coming to the end of it. He knew that his departure was at hand. And he was prepared to offer himself for the sake of the saints and for the Lord's work, to give everything that he had for the Lord. And he says, "I've kept the faith. I've finished the course that God has given him to do." Caleb could say that. You know, it's one thing to be enthusiastic and strong in faith when we're young, isn't it? It's just as important to continue that, to be as strong in faith, to be as strong in the Lord when we're older, to finish well, just as the Apostle Paul did. But you know, the encouraging thing with Caleb is that he finished as he started. He saw these three giants, and this is what really put the people off. Ahiman, Sheshai and Talmai, these three sons of the giants that they saw in the land. They were fearful of them. Caleb says, "Look, they're not to be feared. We can go up and we can overcome them." You know, when we come to Joshua, we discover that when Caleb went into the land, when he was 85 years of age, he went off into battle and he overcame the three sons of Anak. He killed them and defeated them when he was 85. He would have done it 45 years earlier, but the people had hindered them. And for 40 years, they stayed in the wilderness under the command of God before they were allowed in. Isn't that good? He was as strong and as keen and faithful for the Lord, still to do battles in his old age to finish what he had started. And we are reminded that the Lord said to Caleb again here, and also in Deuteronomy, we are reminded that Caleb was one who wholly followed the Lord. He wholly followed the Lord. He was faithful to God in all that he did. You know, the word there that's used in the original to wholly follow is to fill. And that word was first used in creation, when the Lord commanded that the fish were to fill the seas. Caleb's life was full for service for the Lord. It's good, isn't it, that if we can live for the Lord and seek to serve him. But as believers, our lives really should just be full for the service of the Lord. Whether it's in our employment to do it as unto the Lord, or whatever it is that we do. You know, sometimes things are justified to perhaps have other interests or hobbies, but Caleb wasn't like that. He was one who was wholly devoted to the Lord. He was faithful in all he did. There was no room in Caleb's life for anything else. How was he going to overcome these problems when he saw these giants and these sons of Anak? Well, if you'd have asked Caleb, I'm sure, when he stood in front of the 10 spies, well, how are you going to do this? He will say, I'm sure, I have no idea. But God has promised it, and I believe that God can do it. And that's how we should be too, isn't it, over the word of God. We trust God for the big things. We mentioned in our prayers this evening, and we thought of the rapture, the Lord is coming, when we shall be caught up to be with him and we shall be caught in the air. Well, how's that going to happen? I'm sure if we asked a physics scientist, he wouldn't be able to tell us, and we certainly don't know. It's not for us to know the wonder of how God will do it. We believe he will, because we believe God. We believe that he is all-powerful and sovereign, and nothing is too difficult or hard for the Lord. We know it will happen because we believe God. Caleb was like that. His faith was in God. You know, we trust God for the big things like that, don't we? We really need to learn constantly, and it's a lesson I have to speak to myself as well, to learn to trust God in every aspect of our lives, to commit everything that we do unto the Lord in faith, for the big and for the small as well. You know, there's a few other lessons we can learn from this chapter as well. What about the people themselves, these 12 spies? They weren't just insignificant people that were chosen, were they? We read that they were the heads of the people. They were the leaders, the elders. They should have known better. They should have set a better example than they did. A great deal is expected of elders and leaders amongst the people of God. Great damage can be done. Great discouragement when leaders and elders turn aside and discourage the people. What discouragement it brought to the people of God here when 10 of their leaders and elders discouraged the people through their unbelief and their hardness of their own heart. For 40 years they suffered in the wilderness, and none of them saw and enjoyed the inheritance that God had intended for all of them to go straight into. They were hindered for 40 years, and only Caleb and Joshua were to see that. These men had a position amongst the people, didn't they? And we're reminded, you know, not just to pray for the elders, but each and every one of us has a position. The world takes great store, doesn't it? And status by position. But you know, as the believers of God, we have a position in the world. We're ambassadors for Christ. And whether we're a leader, or whether we're an elder, or whether we're just an ordinary believer, if you like, we're all believers and servants together. The world watches us. And they watch us more closely than perhaps we give them credit for sometimes. And they expect greater things of us than they would ever expect of themselves. And so it's important to remember, isn't it, that the way that we live our lives before the world, what we do and how we live speaks volumes far more than anything we could ever say. Our lives need to match up to the opportunities we're given when we are able to speak. And what do they say about themselves as we come to an end? What a beacon Caleb was, that he stood out as a man of faith and encouragement and strength in the Lord, whether he was young or whether he was old. These other 10 men and the people, they said, look, when we gave our report, there were giants in the land, and we were like grasshoppers. And he says, and so we were in their sight. Well, that's true, they were like grasshoppers, because that's how they felt. Not surprising, really, was it? They'd gone out in unbelief, and they'd come back feeling weak and small, and unable to stand up against the enemies of the land. And it says, and so we were in their sight. In the sight of the enemies, in the sight of these giants, they were like grasshoppers. You know, Isaiah speaks about grasshoppers. He said, he who sits above the circle of the earth and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Interesting truth there, isn't it? That even the scriptures tell us concerning the circle of the earth. They didn't know that a few years ago, did they? But God knew, and it's recorded in his word. As Job said, he hung the earth on nothing. And in relation to the earth and to the character of God, because we are as grasshoppers. But the people of God were considering themselves as grasshoppers in the face of the enemy. They'd forgotten that the truth that we have, we're on the victory side. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Well, of course, the question we want to ask is, how did they know that? They might have felt that they were grasshoppers, but how did they know that the people thought of them that they were grasshoppers and they were insignificant and weak? I don't remember any discussion being taken place here. They didn't say that they'd spoken to the people. They didn't say that they'd had a conversation with these giants. And that's what they said. They said, you're like grasshoppers in our sight, don't you? There's no such conversation. That's how they perceive themselves, because of their unbelief. You know, when we feel weak in our faith, we do feel intimidated by the world. We do feel unable to witness and to be unable to be strong. We can't be strong in our own strength, of course. Caleb was strong because his faith was in God. Why don't we ask them? Why don't we ask the enemies, these people, what they did think of them? Well, let's do that. 45 years on, you go to Joshua and you speak to Rahab in her house on the wall. What did she say of the people of God coming into the land? Well, if you were to read in Joshua chapter 9, we would discover this. That Rahab didn't view these people of God, the Israelites, as grasshoppers. She says they were in fear of them. She said, we were in fear knowing that God was with them, knowing all that God had done. She said to the spies that came into her house, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us and on all the inhabitants of the land, are faint-hearted because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. That was 40 years ago when this was written, when Rahab testified to this. This was 40 years on, and the terror of the fact that the Lord was with them and was going to give them the land was still with the inhabitants of the people. And they said, as soon as we heard these things, our heart melted, neither did there remain any more courage in any of you for the Lord your God. He is the God of heaven above and on earth beneath. How wrong they were, weren't they? These 10 spies. They were weak and they were fearful, and they considered themselves as grasshoppers, and they thought they were in the sight of the enemies in the land that they'd been to spy out. They were nothing of the kind. The people were in fear of them because they knew that God was with them. But God is with us as we go out to witness into the world. Sometimes we can be fearful, can't we? We can be afraid of them. We can perceive that there will be confrontation and that there will be difficulties. Just this afternoon when I was working, I was called to some offices in the town which for gas, and had to trace it to Pizza Hut that was below these offices, and ended up having to open all the windows and evacuate the place and turn it off. And then we're going to tell the manager to shut your business down. And sometimes they can be really confrontational. And he says, I'm really pleased about that. He says, I've had some awful customers, I've had an awful day, now I can go home early. And all the staff were chuffed as well, so they've got to go home early instead. The point is this, we perceive sometimes the reaction that we'll get that it's not the case. It might be that we're timid and we're perhaps afraid to speak when the person that we're going to speak to might be just the words that they're waiting to hear. That the Lord has been dealing with that person in their heart. And we don't know that until we're prepared to be like Caleb and to speak up for the Lord. And be unafraid of the response that we might get. Acknowledging that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And that we're only the mouthpiece. And that we should seek to be courageous in our faith. Not in self-confidence, but courageous in our strength and in our faith that's in God. Fully appreciating the promises of God that he will fulfill them, though we might not understand how or when. We can be sure of this, that God will fulfill his word. That not one jot or tittle of the word of God will fail. As the Lord says, the scriptures must be fulfilled. We can trust God because we know him. Let us not be deterred by the enemy in the world in which we are placed. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And if our faith will be in the Lord, he will give us the strength and the help to witness for him, that we might be courageous for him, not just when we're young, but we might be like Caleb, to finish well, to finish as we started, faithful unto the Lord. Caleb indeed, didn't he, defeated those giants that he wanted to do so many years before, but he was unwavering. He did it when he had the opportunity, went into the land, and we read in Joshua that he indeed was given an inheritance and a blessing, and he must indeed be thankful to the Lord for all the things that he'd seen. All the others, you know, so many, they could have seen the same things, but through unbelief they lost the joy and the blessing of all that God wanted to give to them. Might the Lord just bless his word, shall we pray. Oh God, my Father, we do just give you thanks for this time in thy presence, to be still and to be quiet, to appreciate indeed a character like Caleb. We thank thee, our Father, indeed, for his example to us, an example of being courageous and having his faith wholly on thee. Father, we thank thee indeed that thou could say to him that he was Caleb, my servant. Father, we pray that help us indeed to live in that light, to realise that we are thy servants. And Father, we pray that thou would help us, not in our own strength, but we might, with thy help and strength, seek to be courageous for thee, to seek to serve thee, and to be a witness for thee in a hostile world. For Father, we ask these things. We would remember again those who would love to have been here but are not well. And our Father, we lovingly commit them to thee. Those who mourn, those who have responsibilities of caring for young children, we commit them all to thee. And Father, we pray now thou bless us. Take us to our homes in safety, we ask. For we ask this in our Saviour's precious name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.